or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 28th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ron Johnson of Brussels, Wisconsin, is the minister on this. Brother Ron Johnson is going to come and minister this morning. And some of you, in fact, most of you, have not met him. We'll let him introduce himself.
Good morning. I want to start by, some of you don't know who I am, and I'm glad. last night, Glenn asked me to share a word, and just about being here and so on. And you know, my mind went blank. Did you ever have a... thank you. I can't confess that because I have to say the mind of Christ. But really, senior moment is an accurate description of it. And, I truthfully don't believe in flattery and throwing flowers or anything like that, but I do believe in showing respect where respect is due and honor. And Linda and I, through the years, I don't know, we've been here 20 years maybe, off and on. It's been a long time. And we'll not talk about that. Above 14 years ago it's been. How's that? All right, that's what Paul said. And I have learned tremendous things from him by his lifestyle without him even knowing it. And if there's something that you learn when you come to camp, it'll be from the Word. Prayerfully, the Spirit of God will stir you. But more than that, you're coming under the covering of integrity and purity. You're coming under a covering of holiness, a board of people who walk in holiness above all things, and they treasure it. And when you leave here, if you're at all sincere in your heart, you'll most likely know that you've been cleansed by God. And that doesn't happen under any old covering. You can go to services other places and get goosebumps, because that's the goosebump covering that they give you, you know? And you can go some places and fall on the floor and laugh, because that's the covering that they give you, all right? And if your soul is willing, you'll submit to it. But here we're hungry for the presence of the Lord. That's it. I want a relationship with my Jesus. And so we have freedom to do that. Just a quick outline about ourselves, for those of you that don't know, because the Word is much more important for you to know. But I want you to try my spirit. So this will be a time. I'm going to try yours. Okay? And so you can say he's overweight to yourself and get that out of the way. All right? And he's got freckles, so get that out of the way. Okay? And so, and I have the most beautiful wife in this side of heaven sitting back there in blue. And she's just great. She's coming out in a victory after a long battle and so on. But we need to try each other so we can connect in unity in the Spirit of God. So I was called to the ministry about age 6, and I ran for many years from the ministry and did a wonderful job of trying to destroy my life. And God has His ways of bringing you out of mental institutions and out of behind bar places and things like that. And setting you into freedom. And that happened when I was age 30, I suppose. I don't know. Kind of a bit younger than I am now. At an Assembly of God church. It was the age of the hippies. And the guy with the afro hairdo and high-heeled platform shoes come strutting out there. And I wanted to leave. And I was in the middle of the back row and I couldn't get out. And I had my cigarettes here. And we had been drinking in the afternoon. So we reeked. And we had all five kids with us. And what a time it was. And he made several altar calls, and my hand kept going up, and I'd push it down, and I'd sit on it, and I did all kinds of things. We're not here to tell that story, but finally he came back to me. He had the gall to walk on chairs to get to me. You know, I mean, in Lutheran church, which is not, I'm not speaking against them, but I'm just saying we were taught great respect and so on. And from that day on, the call was activated, so we've been ministering in the school of learning all along. And we traveled for a while. One other quick thing, and then we're just about done with this, but the first time we met was at Tommy Cook's revival, or not revival, but teaching down in Oklahoma. I don't know, it wasn't Tulsa, but it was down there. And could have been Muskogee, probably so. And I remember teaching on the subject of iniquities that morning. And because I had just had a traumatic experience in the area of dealing with iniquities. And afterwards, you came up and said, would you come to camp? And that was the start of our journey. And I thank you. It's a very humbling privilege to be here. We pastored, we functioned, I would say, because pastoring is not a title, it's a job that God's given you. It's an action, and that's it. In the Madison, Wisconsin area for quite a while, and then we traveled for many years just ministering here, there, and everywhere in America. God sent me over to Ireland a couple of times, and soon we'll be going again, and just seem to have a flagship of Victory to carry over to Ireland. It's quite unusual. And currently we are up in the thumb part of the state of Wisconsin called Door County, where it's cold, 30 and 40 when we left. So we haven't tasted spring really yet. They'll start planting in a couple of weeks, I think. And so anyhow, in 20-some years ago, we were preaching at a little church at the end of a gravel road in a farmer's backyard. It was called the Farm Kitchen. And as we walked out the door, the Lord spoke to me and said, someday you're going to pastor this work. And I ran. I mean, just no way, God. So we're living in Belgian country, where all Belgianites are. It's just like going to a foreign country. It's an amazing thing. Their customs, their habits, everything is different. We're in America, but we're not. And the work was down to five or six people. It's up to 40 now. We've been there a year. And then we have one in Madison, about 180 miles away, that we still have going. And now he's releasing us to do more traveling. I'm very grateful. So that's where it's at. And let's talk about the Lord. So, hallelujah. Are you ready to rest? Are you ready to rest? Let's labor to rest right now. Let's speak to our soul. Say it with me. Father, I present my soul to you. Now, soul, I lift you up. It's an act of faith. But I am commanding you to be in submission to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to the receiving the guiding of the ministering spirits that are here for this hour. Receive me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I know that I've been sent here on a specific assignment, and I think this is the way it's going to go, but it sometimes changes. But it's drawing out the anointing that lives within us. Now, that's all I can tell you for sure. And during the course of time, and depending upon how many times I share, we'll deal with it as God would have it in segments. And the basis for this is found in John chapter 17. I encourage you to follow the word, because I'm responsible to teach you what he has told me is truth, but you're responsible to receive, meditate, and discern what is truth. All right? So chapter 17. It would seem that in the body of Christ means being made up of born-again believers. Born-again believers, those who have the Spirit of the living God living within them. If you don't have the Spirit of God living within you, you cannot be a part of the body of Christ. Do I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
All right, we're in agreement. We're in unity. We're in one accord. And before the morning is over, if you don't have the Spirit of the living God living within you, alive and active, it would be a great privilege for you to make a decision and to turn unto the Lord and say, you know, I really need that. I really need that. Okay, and the body of Christ throughout history has assignments and stages. And Jesus is up in heaven and in the realm of heaven, and he's turning a book called the Book of Life. Okay, and he's turning pages, and those pages are turned by him, and they're demonstrated by the body of Christ at that time. So the pages, I don't know that they each one represent a generation, but maybe there's several generations on a page. But we are a chosen generation, In other words, we have been chosen by God to be alive in this generation. And if there's anybody here that wants to make $1 million, here's how. Tell me that before you were born, you knew you were going to be born. Tell me that before your parents conceived you, you knew who your mom and dad was going to be. Tell me where you were going to live, what your nose is going to look like, what your toes are going to be like. I'm being silly, but I'm being true. Tell me what your ears were going to look like. Tell me what the tone of your voice is going to be like. Tell me what your personality was going to be like. Tell me if you're going to be a loud mouth or a quiet mouth. Come on. What were you going to be? Before the worlds were formed, God decided that you and I would be what we are at this time in history. He decided how we would be made and how we were to be used, and His perfect intention for us was that we would represent Him in an intimate relationship in the midst of what was going to be perfection and now is not, but is being restored to perfection. So God has chosen you and I to be alive. Amen, isn't this great? To be alive in this exciting generation where dark is getting so dark that we wonder how it's ever going to, how we're ever going to survive. Hallelujah, that's a privilege. Hallelujah. We have been chosen and we have been given the call to walk in a more intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Glory. All of our actions are side trips. Our goal, according to our Heavenly Father, is to be one with Him. Hallelujah. Set your hope, set your expectation, and walk in faith. I am going to become one with Him. Glory. I appreciated many things last night. Well, I appreciated last night. As you were sharing scriptures, it was almost like you were sitting over my shoulder at my desk praying and writing. I was writing scriptures. So we'll share some things. That's good. That means God's got a theme, as far as we're concerned, anyway. Amen. Okay. At any rate, so I want to stress the point. He's drawing us into oneness with Him. Now, into oneness with Him means that we need to get rid of anything that separates me from Him. Hallelujah. And that's called S-I-N. It's easier to say missing the mark. For some reason, sin just... So I need to say it more because it's stirring up the stuff in me that shouldn't be. Amen? Missing the mark is a cop-out. That's just the definition of what sin is. Amen? Isn't that right? He says it's missing the bullseye. God has got a bullseye that you and I are aiming for, and it's Him. Oneness with the Father. Oneness with the Father. Lord, let the intimacy fall. Yes, Lord. Oneness with the Father. And anything that hinders oneness with the Father means that we're stepping aside and we're not going to hit the bullseye. In other words, it's sin. That's Christianity 101, and I know that you know it, but it's good to review. Okay. So I'm missing the mark, and I don't want to do that. All right? And so... it separates me from that intimacy with Jesus. Now, there's only one way that the action of God is going to work in my life so that I might be separated from sin. And it's called anointing. It says in Isaiah, the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Isn't that right? Okay. All right. What is the anointing? The anointing, we know, it's not feelings. You don't necessarily feel the anointing. I'm so tired of hearing that by people. Oh, you should come to this meeting and feel the anointing. No, that's all right. You can feel the anointing at times, but that's not a measure of what anointing is. Anointing is measured by the amount of fruit that it brings forth, not in your life, but in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the anointing that flows through my life brings forth fruit in your life, it's because Jesus decided to do it. I have nothing to do with it but to release it and to walk in relationship. And that's what's going to bring the nations under the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is teaching us where the fullness of the anointing is. There's only one place it can be. Turn with me. I'll get there someday, Lord. Thank you. Revelation chapter 4. I want to tell you where the fullness of the anointing is. Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. I'm not going to preach on it, so we're not going to cover it all. Now you need to ask yourself, say, self, do I want to learn to rest in the presence of God? If you can do that, the anointing will flow. Okay, it's where I lose control and He takes over. Hallelujah. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. All I want to make a comment of that is the church, the true body of Christ, in the presence of God, in a heavenly state while on earth. Hallelujah. And gold stands for they have submitted themselves to resting in God. Hallelujah. Now, we aren't going to go into the teaching of this, but let's go to the next verse. This is it. And out of the throne proceeds lightnings, thunderings, voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And that's the only part I want to stop on for a minute. Okay. Out of the throne. If you study the throne, the Word of God teaches us that the throne is not a place to sit on. The throne, Lord, forgive me for that. The throne stands for the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The throne stands for the righteousness of God, and a throne, in our understanding, represents ruling place. A place where the ruler sits to give forth his will. Okay, so God is saying, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So we've got Jesus before the throne, sitting alongside of the Father, however you care to look at it. And the Father is in the personage of my will shall be done. The answer to the prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he is up there and he is ministering that. Okay. Now who's he ministering it to? Well, God is sovereign. So he's ministering it to the spirit world, which activates itself through the world that is lost. And he is saying to the demonic realm, he is saying, my way is the only way. My will shall be done. My kingdom shall come forth. My kingdom shall come forth. And when the Father issues a decree, you know that it's going to be fulfilled. A lot of scriptures on that, okay? And now it says, before the throne are the seven spirits of God. Seven, we know, spirits represents the fullness of the Holy Spirit in action. And when I say fullness of the Holy Spirit, we do not live under the presence of the action of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We would be a grease spot. We live under the measure of the portion of faith and the measure of the Holy Spirit that is sufficient for us to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. Hallelujah. And it's coming forth from the seven spirits of God. Go to Isaiah 11:2 and I'll describe them for you. But let's just, for the sake of this morning, understand this truth. Enough of the Holy Spirit is in action on this earth to establish the kingdom of God on this earth, to bring the kingdom of God into the reality of what is called the Garden of Eden or paradise on this earth. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Now, a deliverance thing that I've learned. I don't know if any of you have heard this before or not. We were praying with a Satanist, and she was sent to destroy us, and she didn't. We thank God for that. There was days when we wondered. But it was quite an experience. At any rate, I was praying, and God began to show me fire falling from the throne of God. Okay? And this also happened in Ireland, now that I think of it. And I saw the fire coming down, and was passing through three heavens. Now, there are three heavens that we're aware of. The Garden of Eden, Paradise Heaven, that the Apostle Paul was in, or whoever it was. He said, it's a place where we have an out-of-body experience, where we think, where we hear things that are not lawful to be uttered. Different ways of looking at that. It's where we hear intimate things that apply to ourselves. I don't believe that God, He can, but it doesn't seem that He uses the third realm heaven to bring forth messages of preaching. He uses the third realm of heaven to develop intimacy. Hallelujah. And so our goal is to dwell in that third realm. Hallelujah. That's the cry. You want to get raptured. That's where you should be raptured to. Into that third realm of heaven. Okay? And so as the fire comes down, it's pure and it's perfect. And God ministers His intimacy to me. And then this fire comes down through the second heaven. The second heaven is a place of life where the spirit beings live. It's where the angels live and where the demonic realm lives. It's where the wars go on. It's where the true war goes on. And so they have their battle. I call that the devil's playground. And it's an area that relates well to our soul and so on. But anyhow, then there's the first heaven. That's where I live right now. That's where I make decisions. I'm going to buy a Mickey D's with jelly on it this morning. That type of a decision, all right? I want my chocolate chip cookies. They have big chocolate chips and things like that. We make these daily decisions. It's also a choice area, but it's where we walk out in the tabernacle realm in the outer court, where we're subject to all of the things of the world. You know, when they lived in the outer court, if it rained, they got wet. If it snowed, they got full of snow, whatever it might be. It's where we live out there, okay? And so we ask the fire of God to come down and to proceed through the second heaven. And what happened, Doc, this is just such a precious thing for me anyway, was as the light of God, which is a warm, loving, drawing light, came down, it exposes darkness. And he said to me, command the demons to face the light in this person's life, in my own life, and command them to stand at attention, face forward, to see my loving light. You see, demons have never been exposed to the light of God. Okay? They see the light of God and only, well, they don't survive. And then he says, come down into the first heaven where they're possessing, or whatever terminology you want to use, but where they're making this person's life miserable, where they're controlling this person's life. Okay? And send your light to search out the enemy. Search out the enemy. To search out the enemy, Lord. And when this light goes, you know, nothing stops light. Isn't that right? Darkness tries, but intense light will always destroy darkness. Isn't that right? Watch a welder cutting, or a cutting torch person cutting through steel, thick steel. Eventually the heat of the light will cut through the thick steel and come out to the other side and expose. Well, it's a very crude way of looking at it, but that's the light of God going forth in us. Amen. You with me on this now? Okay. And so then we ask the Lord to shine forth into the depths of the ground that you have given me. Now, that can be the literal ground, because God has assigned you where to live in this world. He's given you a piece of land, and he's given you the authority to drive all of the evil spirits off from that piece of land. Hallelujah. It's your little piece of land. But anyhow, in the spirit realm, that's speaking of generational spirits, generational curses, if we want to call them that, the things that we've inherited, our iniquities and so on. And when the Lord begins to shine in these places, our lives begin to change. And the kind of change is the kind I want to tell you, it's where I'm happy-go-lucky. No. It's where I'm facing the ugliness of the enemy. The ugliness of the enemy that is so strong that it knows how to influence my soul into thinking that death is better than life. Into thinking that losing is better than winning. Into thinking that he is my God instead of the Lord Jesus Christ is my God. He ministers, and that's true spiritual warfare. And that's where we're at. And the Lord will allow the fire to bring change. It will bring change into our soul by exposing the demonic realm that's got so much authority in our life. By exposing our free will, which is... doesn't get enough credit, and the demons get too much credit, truthfully, but exposing our free will, you know, that we might change into his likeness. That's a foundation for you, all right? So now turn with me to the subject of the cherubims, and we'll start in Hebrews chapter 11, no, chapter 4, I don't know, in Hebrews, all right, chapter 1, Richard, that's it, sure it is, chapter 1, verse 13. And to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not, now we're talking about angels, all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be, everybody say I'm a shall be, heirs of salvation. So we want to establish a principle here that all angels which are created by God, all angels which are created by God, even the demonic realm that was in a perfect state and rebelled, even Lucifer that was in a perfect state and rebelled, was created by God for a good purpose. He was given the earth as his assignment to care for, to be the boss of. Okay, this age, not the terra firma, but this age, the spirit age, and so on. And he says, you angels, you've got a job to do. You're a higher form of life. You have a different kind of understanding of what life is than the people that I've created on earth. They have the ability to think higher than you do, because I've put my spirit within them. Hallelujah. But they live in a higher realm of thinking. Okay? And they can do things that we can't do. You know why? Because they're not hindered by our body. Okay? And our body shouldn't be a hindrance. They should be a glorification of Jesus Christ. at any rate. So their job is to minister to you and I. That's what it is. It says that there are many angels here this morning observing because they don't know what unity is. So they're here learning about unity with Jesus Christ. You might want to say good morning to the angel sitting next to you. Huh? We do a lot of teaching where there's not a whole lot of people. I'm going to talk to God about that when I get to heaven. And sometimes I get discouraged, and that's the flesh in action, you know, but whatever it is. So I tell a few people that are there, let's greet the angels this morning. And we do. They're here. Many stories I can tell you that where we've actually seen them here. But anyhow, okay, so a cherubim is an angel that has been sent by God to minister to the body of Christ, His people. Okay, now to save time, I'm going to behave and look at the notes if I didn't lose them. Okay, turn with me to... Thank you, Lord, I appreciate that when you do that. Okay, turn with me next to Genesis chapter 3. All right, it's called the law of first reference. When you want to learn about something, you go to the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. And then you trace it through, and you're going to find the reason that God created. Did you know that books are wonderful and books are great, and I thank God for them, especially teaching books? But I'll tell you what, the greatest book that you'll ever research is the Word of God. Because the Word of God contains an answer for every question you'll ever have. And the Word of God not only contains an answer, but it tells it to you at least two or three times so that you can establish it as truth. Isn't that wonderful? Read your Word! Search your Word! Read your Word and search your Word, and then when you've got time, read a good book. All right? Am I wrong in that? Huh? It sounds good, but it's true. It's so true. Let's go to chapter 3, verse... What did I say? 22. The Lord God said, Behold, man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to take the ground from whence he was taken, or to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We could spend the whole morning on that, couldn't we? But let's just choose a couple of things for right now. Okay. First of all, the Garden of Eden was a place of relationship with Adam and Eve. The Word of God, next time I'll share this if I can, but the Word of God says that He breathed upon us. We, Adam and Eve at that time, had our born-again nature. Only it wasn't born again, it was just born in them. All right. Isn't that right? They had the ability to walk in the cool of the day. What that means is not when the shade was there, it means in the Ruach, the realm of the Spirit. They were walking in perfect intimacy with God. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's our goal, guys. This perfect intimacy with our God. Glory to God. And when they became aware, they made a choice of good and evil. Well, now they were living in a state of perfection. How come good and evil was there? It's because Satan was living there. What does God say about you and I? He says, Father, I pray that you don't remove them from this age, but to make them one and keep them from the evil one. Hallelujah. We have been called to be overcomers, not copper-outers.
Amen.
Come on, God.
Amen.
We have not been called to be escape artists, but we have been called to be ploppers. God has called us to plop in the middle of this world because it's ours. Hallelujah. God has given us this earth. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And He has assigned you and I to live on this earth and to reestablish the way it was in the beginning, which was paradise. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Glory. There is life in that in your soul this morning. It will manifest in your body. Your right arm will become very strong quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like to, you know, we can get emotional about this, and that's great, but that doesn't cut it when trials come. I need more in emotion. I want intimate knowing of what I just told you. Do you have in your heart, oh God, I don't make myself cry, that's for TV and these guys that can do that stuff. I'm not interested in that. But sometimes they're just God emotions. You can't help them. So don't look at them, just say, oh, that's him. Okay. Now, David did a lot of that, and I'm nowhere near David. But anyhow, okay, God, I really want to establish intimacy with you. Okay. I was going to speak out of John 17, but I'll just tell you what I was going to say. The prayer of Jesus, Father, we are one. I'll paraphrase this, okay? But he says, Father, while you and I walked on this earth, there's nothing I didn't do that was not in your will. Nothing I didn't think that was not a God thought. Nothing that I didn't see that I didn't interpret through your eyes. transform them into the way you see it. That's the way we want to be. That's why we sing to be like you. Jesus, it's not a pretty song. It's the cry of our heart. Oh, my God, that I might be what I was created to be, a pleasure for you, intimate with you, in your presence. Hallelujah. Then the anointing, which breaks the yoke of bondage, will flow. Glory to God. You might want to test your relationship with your Heavenly Father. I really want to be like you. Things that interfere are hindrances. And when they interfere, and we recognize they're interfering, it's time to deal with them. That's called deliverance. That's it. An oversimplified way of saying it. And so we say, oh God, deliver me. Deliver me from anything that would interfere with my relationship with you. And my life's experience dictates this truth. He will never take me to a place of deliverance that I'm not strong enough to keep. Therefore, I learn patience and endurance and long-suffering and those other fruits of the Spirit that I wish He would have changed so they're not there sometimes. Isn't that right? But I learn them as He feeds me my daily bread, my daily manna, which we're going to see, I hope, if I ever get onto it, this daily manna. And I grow closer to Him day by day. Because as I eat His manna, which is His Word, and I cry out for the Spirit of God to take authority, which is His Spirit mixed with the Word, it brings change. Hallelujah. So we're a people, that's why He, of change. He says that's why the kingdom of God is not going backwards. The kingdom of God is not standing still. The kingdom of God is going forward all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So the cherubim were there. They were living in the presence of Satan, and He didn't stand a chance. Did He? How come then He did that? He did stand a chance. I didn't mean to set you up, but that's a true thing. Don't be down because He didn't answer it the way I thought. That's really not important. But the deal is this. Of a truth, Satan versus you and I is no match. Satan against the blood of Jesus is the only match that there is. And the power of the Spirit lifting us into the high realm above the power of Satan, whereby we present to his demons of high rank the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what kicks off the anointing to break the bond. Even Michael, the great archangel, dare not bring a railing accusation against against Satan. Okay? Awfully quiet. Maybe I said something that you didn't care for. So then you test that, okay? But I have learned that this guy is defeated. He's absolutely defeated. And I have learned that you and I have been called to walk out of the victory. We're not walking out the manifestation of the defeat by attacking him. We're called out to walk the manifestation of victory by showing him that he is dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So we're going to be living in that realm yet where he cannot touch us. Okay, hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what I want. Okay, let's go on. Somebody's telling me in my ear, I told you something I shouldn't have, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Okay, then he says that he set the cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the tree of life. The tree of life is the Spirit of God that is breathed into you and I. It can be a literal tree if you want it to be, I don't care. But I see it in a spiritual aspect. It is the tree of living. It is the place where the Holy Spirit is ministering in perfect ministry from the throne, and where I am living in a place of where I ignore the knowledge of good and evil. It's there, but I don't pay any attention to it. You and I have the ability because we have the mind of Christ. If you're born again, say it, I have the mind of Christ. All right. You and I have the ability to walk under the ruling authority of the Holy Spirit as it gives us the attitude in every situation we're in of Christ. The attitude of seeing everything that tonight, today, sitting right here, right now. Maybe there's something you don't like, maybe there's something you do like. So your mind is in this wishy-washy battle of the two and you're supposed to be listening to the Word. We have the ability to be as Jesus Christ was and to think as His Heavenly Father would think. To react as His Heavenly Father would react. To do what His Heavenly Father would have Him to do, no more and no less.
We have that same mind, and that's called where the tree of life is. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
Be to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now, they were locked out. In other words, they lost fellowship with intimacy of their Heavenly Father. That's you and I before we were born again. That's why you must be born again if you're going to enter into the realm of heaven. That's why you must be born again or you'll live in a place where there should be pleasure and it will be hell. So they were locked out. And God said, Cherubim, here's your job. I created you for this purpose. I want you to take a flaming sword. Flame stands for the fire of God. Fire brings change. Fire takes that which is raw and turns it into that which is well done. Okay. I want to be well done.
Amen.
All right. It's a sin to eat meat with blood in it because there's life in it. All right. And that's deliverance stuff, so I'll wait with that. But anyhow. Okay. Now, the next thing. I also want you to have a sword in your hand. We know what the sword is, right? The sword is the Word of God. That's what discerns between the soul and spirit. Okay? So, another teaching, we won't go into that, but that's what the sword is. And so, in order to enter into eternal life, hallelujah, you must go through the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is the expression of our Heavenly Father. It is the spoken from the throne of our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. This word that is written was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, when the Holy Spirit was in the realm of the throne area and God said, Holy Spirit, come here, you got a job to do. Here's what your job is. I want you to minister to men. And I want you to inspire them that they would speak what I'm going to tell them to speak. And so we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is life. And the Word of God will never go forth without bringing results. Amen. So we have this precious sword in our hand. And then the fire. Interesting to go to Acts chapter 2, 4, the visitation of the Holy Spirit. What landed on their heads? Tongues of fire. Hallelujah. Fire takes ingredients. The ingredients of fire are expressed in tongues. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. When you put the Word of God with the Spirit of God together, it produces fire which brings change. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. And so we see one of the assignments of the cherubim is to make sure that nobody can walk into eternal life any other way than through the Word and through the Spirit. And that is why witchcraft is so powerful. That's why Satanism is so powerful. That's why the New Age movement and all of this other stuff that's going on is so powerful. They have learned of the power of two creating but false life, not true life. Hallelujah. It's a psychic realm. So the angels, cherubim's job is to guard each one of us. You ever wonder how many they were? Huh? Wouldn't that be something to know? We couldn't say the number. It'd be so big. You know that? But anyhow, the angels' job is to steer us to the tree of life. Glory to God. The angels can't make you accept Christ nor stop you from accepting Christ. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that will draw you in by the power of the Father. But the angels have a big job in steering you. Let me just quickly tell you and rest your mind for a minute. Some of you know we became a mom and dad again. Our 12-year-old grandson has moved in with us now. What an experience. I was teasing her one day in a church service. I was preaching not long ago, and I was teaching on Moses and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah? Abraham and Sarah. And I looked at her, and she had that silly grin on her face, and I said, don't you dare even think of it. That afternoon, we got a phone call. Would you let so-and-so come live with you? And there's good reasons for it. So I'm never going to tell her, don't you dare again. Okay. But I don't know where I was going with that, but it doesn't matter. Turn with me now to the next thing of the cherubim. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter chapter 9. You need to wiggle a little bit? The anointing keeping you sitting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the anointing is here, it's because you had decided you wanted to call closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
There will be change because of this morning. We know that in some of us. Hallelujah. Feel you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. And over it, 9:5 of Hebrews. Well, actually, I better start in chapter 3. And this, after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, verse 4, and the ark of the covenant laid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, at which we cannot speak now particularly. When I see Paul, I'm going to ask him, how come God wouldn't let him tell us more? He says, I can't talk about that now. Isn't that interesting? Huh? How in tune he was and how the Holy Spirit moved him. But anyhow, let's go back to this. The teaching of the tabernacle we're not going to touch this morning. I think most Christians understand it well. But we're dealing in particular about the place called the Holy of Holies. Okay? The Holy of Holies is a place where the glory of God is, where the intimacy of God is established through the golden prayers, through the prayers in the golden censer where there's fire. In other words, the prayers that we offer up to God are coming forth in purity, untouched by our human feelings, our human emotions. We are just the mouth creating the word to ascend to the throne. How do we do that? By praying in the Spirit. An untouched place. A place of complete surrender and intimacy. Hallelujah. And so that's the atmosphere that we want to enter into. Excuse me. We want to enter into the atmosphere of complete intimacy where I can have communion with my God. Another step on that. Back in those days, the once a year they would enter, and the high priest that would enter in could not speak a word. Hallelujah. In other words, he could not convey to God any of his personal needs, wants, desires. He was to cleanse his mind of all fleshy activities. We are not going to enter into the strength of pure anointing until we make a decision in our mind that God, all of the fleshy activities, all of the things that are in my life, all of anything that is in my life is way down the ladder. Whether I have it or not, doesn't matter. That I can honestly say, as the Apostle Paul did, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I am at one with my God in either way. Jesus was very rich at one time. He needed a treasurer. Jesus was very poor at the end of his life. He couldn't even have a tomb. It says he became poor. That means in the stage of total destitution and poverty for you and I, so that we could escape it and be blessed. And he's talking about money. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be able to handle abundance and to live in joy when we don't have abundance. You're never going to enter into the fullness of anointing until, I'll rephrase that, it's highly unlikely that you are to enter into the fullness of the anointing of God unless you've learned to live in joy as you're abased and as you're bound. Hallelujah. Or as you're abased and as you're bound, yes. Okay, now, I want us to look at something else here. It says there was a golden pot that had manna. The anointing power of God comes when the Word of God is mentally assimilated so that instead of becoming head knowledge, it turns into a desire to become, I want to live it knowledge, life knowledge, okay? That's where the anointing comes. That's why it says in Romans, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word. The word there isn't a printed word, it means the alive Word. Faith kicks in action when you've heard an alive Word of God and He's inspired you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that's real. I'm going to live it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay? Faith comes by you. The next thing, oh, and by the way, I want to refresh this to you. The pattern of feeding of manna was a day at a time. Of manna, a day at a time. And I think the interesting definition of manna is, what is it? You know that? Okay, you see, they were exploring something new. It was like sitting down with my wife, and she says, honey, I got a new dish tonight. Oh, no, no. You know, my taste buds don't know whether to run and scream or what. Okay.
God has got something new for you every day. Every day is an opportunity and an experience to grow closer to my Heavenly Father. And He will do that, not through situations, but He'll use situations, but He will do that by bringing out His Word in your life through whatever happens in your life. So our day is filled with the ministering of His Scriptures, which is His will. Glory to God, which is then the power of His Spirit working through us, because He will minister Scriptures that dictate, this is what I want you to do, and we go forward by faith and do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we still on the train? I feel like I'm feeding shovelfuls here, and I don't want to do that. Help me, Lord, please. Okay, the next thing that is in that is the Ten Commandments, we call them. You say, what are the Ten Commandments? They represent the will of God in action. Isn't that right? Okay. You live by them and you got life made. Okay. And Jesus summed it up by saying this. Well, if you want to know what the Ten Commandments are in reality, it's my love going forth through you in your life. If you will live my life through you and love the way I love, you're fulfilling the Ten Commandments. Why did God choose 10? Why didn't He write 12? Why didn't He write 20? Because 10 is one definition of it is God's number of whatever He's describing, and He says, these 10 are my will. Now I want you to act on them to prove that they're true. That's why you tithe. God doesn't need your tithe. He says, I've chosen that number, and I want you to act on it. I want you to do what tithe defines. It means give 10. Isn't that right? And He says, because of that, I've got courage. I'm going to tell you, prove me. It's the only time He ever says that. But He says, I will show you that my word is true. So we get into situations whereby we are used as a number 10. Oh, I love that. It is sometimes, but I love it. And so God says, here, I want to show you how my action, how my will is going to happen through action. And He lays out 10 commandments, which is His perfect law. So in this Ark of the Covenant, it would be fun to describe that, but that takes too long. In this Ark of the Covenant is the will of God to go forth. And it's going forth from that place. Hallelujah. And then Aaron's rod that budded, if any of you want to go to it, we won't. It's found in number 17. And in essence, what it is the establishment of the priesthood. There are a people in Revelation 1, 7 or 8, it says, ye are kings and priests unto the Lord. Isn't that right? So when you become born again, you become a priest unto the Lord. You want to know what a priest is? Well, take time to go back to the Old Testament. You'll find out in number 17, it was a people, it was a man in the form of Aaron, but it was a people, and they laid down a rod. Rod represents the authority of God. And all of them didn't bud except one, and that was Aaron. And it brought forth buds. That stands for the fruit of the Spirit. And it also brought forth leaves. And leaves are for the healing of the nations, the ruling. Hallelujah. The ruling. And that's where we're headed, guys. We're not going to be mayors of cities. Don't you believe that stuff? No, that's all materialistic stuff. We're going to be walking in that realm whereby we're bringing forth the fruit of righteousness. And we're standing in the middle of the stream of God. Oh, it's flowing and flowing and flowing. And we're being watered in our root system. No longer are we drinking from Mara. Dirty water, bitter water. Hallelujah. That's what a priest is. Hallelujah. And he became separated unto God. Glory to God. You got all of this stuff together. Isn't the word wonderful? Amen. It just witnesses with itself. Okay, now I want to take you to... help me, Lord, please. I think that would be good. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 13. Why do these always hide me in a hurry to find them, huh? I mean, I could flip this baby open an hour ago to Leviticus, no sweat. Okay. Leviticus 16, verse 13. Well, actually, we'll start in verse 12, and this is Aaron now. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire. Leviticus 16, verse 12. He shall take a censer full of coals of fire from off from the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Okay, we're out inside the veil right now. And, of course, Jesus rent the veil so we can enter into it. But I want to look at the ministry of the priest for a minute, okay? He was outside. He was in a place called the Holy Place. And there was the golden altar there. Golden stands for the nature of God over the wood, the flesh, over you and I. He was in a place of relationship where he was aching for God to be in charge of his life. The golden altar represents the soul portion of us. It's not the outward actions, it's the inner thinking actions. Okay? And he was there and he took fire. What does fire represent? Change. And he brought it in a golden censer. Well, we know from Revelation that Jesus teaches us that a golden censer is the prayers of the saints. It's the vial for the prayer of the saints. And so he goes through the veil. He goes into the presence of the Heavenly Father. And he brings this before him. And now, he shall put incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat, that it is upon the testimony that he die not. Many, many more things on this, but I just want, for the sake of today, to just look at this. The purpose of him coming into intimacy was this. He had perfect communion with God. No me things. You don't need to request things when you're in perfect communion with God. You have learned that whatever you have, you're thankful for because of his goodness. Why else? This thought just hit me. But why else, Doc, can I throw my crown before him? Because I have learned to realize all that I have. Everything that I am. Whom I am. I was created for his pleasure. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been created for your pleasure, oh God. Oh, glory to you. Intimacy is coming. Intimacy is coming. Okay. And before the Lord, that the incense may cover the mercy seat. But I want to look at this. The glory of the Lord was there. Turn to with me to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Wish we had time to do the whole book of Isaiah. Oh, so good. Every page, every word is so good. And it shall come to pass. I want to begin with this. When God says it's going to come to pass, it means I have decreed by the prophetic word that it's going to happen. You watch. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God. Let's say it. It's coming to pass. And I'm alive in that generation where it seems like it's happening. Hallelujah. Okay, so here is a statement from God that's very bold. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Look at this. This is the way it is. The sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Verse 5. What did I... Oh. That he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem. Verse 3. Stop for a minute. Zion, we know from the Word of God, teaches us that it is God's people in the flesh doing warfare. All right? And it's flowing from a place called Jerusalem. Jerusalem is called God's fireplace. It's called his burning pot. It's also called the Bride of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ in Zion, is the church in action. Glory to God. Okay. Now, to go on with this, Lord, please help. And upon her assemblies, okay, oh. And upon her assemblies, no, I want to get back up to where I was. Please help me. And then it says, and the one that's left now, it says, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written amongst the living in Jerusalem. Okay. Who's holy? Our Heavenly Father is holy. Who has been called to become holy? You and I have been called to become holy. Who has made it possible that we're already holy? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, we fall in all categories into that place of holiness. And the Lord says, here's a description of Jerusalem. Here's a description of Zion. Here's what's going to happen in the day that this shall come to pass. And he goes on. And he says in verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. Wait a minute. I thought that it was up to me to scrub my sins away. It ain't ever going to happen. It happens this way. When the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God come together by the choice of my Heavenly Father, because he knows that I'm ready to handle it. All right. And that's what washes it away. I have not got the authority. I have the authority to walk away, to change my way of living, so I'm not tempted to go into it again. But it's the power of God that goes to the axe, to the root, to destroy sin. Hallelujah. And that's another reason why we have deliverance. Deliverance doesn't make the problem feel better. Deliverance goes and puts the axe to the root, and it puts a curse of death on the death so that it can reign no more. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. That's why we come together like this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. And he shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. I just want to look at that for one quick second. Spirit of judgment is the Holy Spirit making a decision. It's time to make change. Where did the Holy Spirit get his orders from? Father. Hallelujah. So the Father is looking down on you and I. Jesus, the Lord, Jesus Christ is sitting at his right hand saying, they're saved, they're saved, they're saved. It's okay, Father. They're saved, they're saved. That's his job now. He's alive, ever living to make intercession for you and I. Hallelujah. He's saying, my blood has set them free. They have received all that's necessary to come into your presence that you might make decisions in their life that they will change. Hallelujah. The spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Burning represents the fire of God. Remember what we said fire does? The cherubim are related into this thing. All right? They are the agents sent by God to manifest, to make things happen whereby the burning power of God happens in your soul. Hallelujah! So you and I have been assigned, if I may draw this way. I don't know that I have any biblical accuracy for this, but the ministry of the cherubim is to bring the word of God and the sword of and the fire of God to minister to the part of me that relates to the spirit world. What part of me relates to the spirit world? My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my desires. Hallelujah. That's what's going to live forever. It's never going to change. This whole body is going to go back into dust, and that's it. But, and someday at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will have a brand new body. I have no doubt about that. Pass through walls. Go here, go there. Not sweat a thing. All right. But the important thing, guys, is that the real you, yes, the real you that you believe it so hard. I see you struggling, doing a battle. Oh, Lord, can I never be perfect? Can I never make it? And the Lord says, my child, you are perfect. You are perfect and you are mine. You are mine. Continue to work. Work at trusting me and knowing that I have made the provision and you shall become mine because your heart is as the heart of God. Hallelujah. Blue and white sweater, thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Standard prayer, I'm not going to get done, but we'll do what we are supposed to. For the Lord will create. That means feed to form. For the Lord is going to feed you with his word to form something for you. That's what create there means. Hallelujah. Okay? So the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Everybody, let's say that. Every. I'm an every. Hallelujah. He's talking to me right now. He's saying, look it, I am feeding you that I might form you. You're the clay and I'm the potter type thing. I'm working on your spirit, man. I'm working on your mind, will, emotions, and desires. I am conforming it to something. I'm forming it to what? To the likeness of me, which is what I created you to be anyway. Hallelujah. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. He says, and when you come together with your others, upon her assembly, I'm going to create a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all, let's say that I'm an all, the glory shall be a defense. Hallelujah. I want to quickly tell you something. It's an interesting story. I was over in Ireland in a place called Annaghone. You had to be Irish even to say it almost. There's a little bitty country church that held about 200 people out in the middle of nowhere. And several men were drawn there by God to be elders. So they functioned in an eldership type thing. No membership or anything like that. And God has anointed them with a ministry of deliverance. I mean, we all have a ministry of deliverance. But these gentlemen were used in a special way by God for deliverance. So they lead a wonderful life. Why did I say that? Whatever. Anyhow, they're men that are highly respected. They asked me to come and preach there when I was over there, and I would get there half an hour before the meeting, and people would be standing outside, well, 15, 20 deep. They couldn't get in. The windows open. We didn't have speakers or anything like that. It was quite a scene. You don't see that in America. These people were so hungry for the Word of God. Well, because I was a guest and all of these things, you know, I came in all prayed up. And I thought, oh, God, what's going to do? I can't wait. You ever get that way sometimes? You know, expectation. Well, there's holy expectation, and me thinks it should be expectation. And I had a whole bunch of me thinks. I got up to preach, and I couldn't say a word. He just says, take your shoes off. Come on, God, I didn't see if I got any holes in my socks. He says, I don't care. Take your shoes off. I did. All these people are waiting for the presence of God. I couldn't say a word. It happened to me three other times. But anyhow, finally, I began to prophesy. And I thought, oh, God, I would prefer to teach your word. And now I'm having this conversation in my head. Okay, I learned that when I was in a mental institution. You can talk to yourself. I found out it's scriptural and it's okay to do. But anyhow, and I said, but Lord, I want to teach your word. And he says, you're speaking my word. You're speaking my word into existence because I have sent you to establish what I'm going to do. I go, wow, you know, no wonder I can't wear shoes. And one of the things that was spoken, this went on for a couple of hours, one of the things that was spoken was that this building that I was in was going to be visited by the fire of God. And that the fire trucks were going to come and farmers and people from all around were going to be amazed because the fire would not destroy the building. I got a call within the last 6 months, I suppose. Is that right, honey? And they said, you'll never believe what happened. And they described it to a T. The building was full, surrounded by the fire of God. People were coming wanting to put the fire out, and they couldn't. They just stood in that place. Okay. You see, that's the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wasn't around as saved and back in the late 40s when they called that the Latter Rain Revival. Okay, man, put that name on there. I don't know if it's true or not. But I've been told by those that were there that that would happen at some of their meetings, where the fire of God would come. Hallelujah. I ache for that. I ache for that. We are coming into that. We are coming into that. I need to bring this to a close somehow. Okay? Oh, and it says it's going to be a defense. Let's bring that into practical application. In America, but it is in the world, we're living in a time of what people would call danger. Okay? You think twice before you go on a trip now. If you're going to separate your family, you think about that. And you make plans. We don't live in fear of terrorists, but we learn. And we've been told now from the president's regime that we should expect this summer a 90% chance of the visitation of terrorism. Okay? That's just the way it is. There's none of us that can do a blooming thing about it. Amen? Well, let me tell you what it is. It is the judgment of God. Hallelujah. We don't like it, but it is. It is God making decisions. He is saying, it is time for me to show that I am God. And I am going to show the world that I am God. Now, how did he do it back in the Israelites' day with Pharaoh? He protected them supernaturally while all this stuff was going on. That didn't just happen to make a good Bible story for kindergarten. That had a purpose because it's there as an example for today. You and I are being prepared to live in the presence of the glory of God, whereby when stuff happens, it happens. Hallelujah! Now, some of us are going to have the privilege of dying. Our flesh, they're going to do things to us where we'll have the privilege of dying. I'll tell you why it's a privilege. Because there is no greater privilege in the flesh than to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I don't need to fly away. I don't need to escape. I need to learn that my Father has covered me with His glory in the midst of all of the evil that's going on. And if He chooses to bring me home, so be it. If He chooses to leave me here, so be it. Whatever it is, I'd prefer to go home, God, but it's up to you what you want to do. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now I will tell you, I got to stop. Thank you. I will tell you, Lord, that I cannot walk in that victory unless I carry the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And I cannot get... Would you mind if we use the piano player? Thank you. Good. Thank you. Thank you, sister. The third to the last song was Jehovah. Why did I ask for music? I'll tell you why. Music can be a tool of Satan, and it can be a tool of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Music ministers to my soul. And it carries forth tones, sound waves, that minister to the part of me that is the producer of life. Hallelujah. And so now she carries a beautiful anointing whereby she brings forth the life of God awareness in me. Hallelujah. She can't make the life of God, but she can bring the awareness of the life of God. And when I become aware of the life of God, I desire to have more of it, because life draws into life. Isn't that right? And when I draw into more of His life awareness, I come into a new realm of anointing, awareness. The anointing is there. It can't change. It's my awareness of the anointing. And the minute I become aware of the anointing, stuff happens, because I have a hunger that I want to be used by God. Okay? But to be used by God means I must be intimately aware of being in His presence. Father, there's so much. We didn't even begin, God, and here it is, noontime. Now we're done with that. Throw it away. Set our mind on drawing into You. Drawing into You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the presence of Jehovah. Heavenly Father, I come boldly unto the throne of grace, where my thoughts become Your thoughts, so that my ways can become Your ways. Draw me in. Oh, I will draw You to my presence. For I have called You to be mine. I send my Spirit, oh, to stir You with desire to be my fire. Oh, I do call You my chosen people. Oh, I do see You as my own. Hallelujah. Raindrops from heaven, they are falling upon Your soul. Oh, for You have purpose with all Your heart to let me help You and to make You whole. For You are my bride. You are my wife. I've chosen to live with You all of Your life. Oh, for I do cover Thee, that I shall become as weak. Oh, hallelujah. My glory does shine on Thee. It's just You and me. We walk
liberty. We walk as one. It's not a life of drudgery, but it's a life filled with my fun. Hallelujah. We walk, we dance as one. We're in rest in our Father's arms. Honey, this is for you. A place of safety. You are in my arms. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my story. This is my story. A living testimony now. Oh, this is my story. Come on. Oh, this is my song. Worship Him, a living testimony. My Savior, all the day long. Oh, this is my story. Jesus, bring her in that place. Hallelujah.
No harm.
Hallelujah. Be my Savior all the day long. I'm before your altar, O Lord. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. As you remain, and just quietly keep going, please, but as you remain, I would like you to consider this. These meetings are awesome, and the Spirit of God is ministering to our soul, whereby we're becoming aware that we're in His presence. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. An altar represents a place of oneness with God, koinonia. I would like you, in the realm of your pure mind right now, you're in the realm of the mind of Christ, but you have your flesh down there. I would like you to take what you would consider would be a banqueting table and present it unto the Lord. Okay? Now, we can't do anything with our mind. That would be psychic power. But we can under heaven understand anything. And on that table, I would like you to take one sin or iniquity, which turns into sin, that's in your life that is ruling. Okay? Something that's ruling. Okay, is there anybody here that's walking in perfection yet? You should be in heaven, so you'd be lying if you said yes. Think about it for a moment. We're in the presence. We're in the presence. Dinner is cooking and waiting. Now the altar. Bring this to the altar. Whisper it so that only your ears can hear it. It's nobody else's business, and if they're listening, then they're not in the presence. Now set it before Jesus at His table of communion. And here's what Jesus is saying. You brought that for me to eat? No, thank you. I've prepared a meal for you. It's called my bread and this cup of wine. My blood. And He says, so I'm going to throw it off the table I don't want you to cook for me. I have dinner prepared for you. And now, as he casts that away, the words, Father, forgive me, come before him. And I will partake now of your dinner, of your meal. You partake of that which represents his body. And you drink of that which represents his blood. And in his presence at the throne of grace, you have been set free from whatever that's in you because of his goodness. It came to your mind because of his goodness. It was ministered to your mind by the Holy Spirit in his presence. The angels are around, creating an atmosphere where that sin cannot live. And the Lord Jesus washed it away. And that's deliverance. A form of deliverance. In the presence of God. In the presence of Jehovah, we close with that. Sing it with me. Jehovah, no fear. Hallelujah. The angel around you is beautiful. It's ministering his love. Hallelujah. Prince of peace, the blood of that written on this banner would be nearer to thee. And I'm asking that the word Father is a predominant word. And may the fruit of this meeting be a hunger and a desire, a submission of joy and rest that you are drawing into the place where your glory speak to our souls, O God. Touch that portion of desire and fan it with your flame of fire. Assign words of your word to our portion of desire. Do an effectual work of building us closer to you. Father, I don't want to hang this one thing on the people, but a portion of their thoughts, a portion of their life. I ask you to hang this, that they would pray in the Spirit more and more, that they would commune with you more and more, O God, your way of drawing us.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.